This is a reading of Woman Like a Man, a Due South story written by Lalejandra and read by Malinpoodle. The pairing is Fraser Kowalski. The rating is PG. She was a beautiful blonde with a face made for trouble and gorgeous legs. Her shoes were spindly heels, not practical for the tundra but well enough for Chicago. She had a glare that could stop a wolf in his tracks. She stopped my wolf. He growled at her, then pounced.
"Get off! Get off!" she yelled, swatting at Deef.
I watched her, fascinated by the movement of her limbs and the sunlight on her blonde hair.
"What is this? What is this? Get off!"
Diefenbaker began licking her ear.
"This dog is making intimate with me!" she yelled.
"He's half-wolf, actually," I said, and dragged Diefenbaker off her.
"Do I care?"
she replied, and straightened her skirt. She tottered a bit on her heels, but righted herself before I could help. I apologized for Diefenbaker as well as I could, with him still sniffing at her skirt-covered genitals. "He's deaf," I said, lamely.
"Yeah?"
she said, her hands fists on her hips. "He reads lips," I continued. She bent down so they were nose to nose.
"Stay off me!" exclamation point, she said.
Deef responded by licking her nose and whuffling at me.
"She's a man," Deef said, shocked.
At first, I was inclined to dismiss Deef's observation as the accusation of an overwrought wolf, but I took a deeper sniff. Underneath the Elizabeth Arden lipstick and CoverGirl powder and eyeliner, underneath the bergamot and orange perfume and the tight skirt, there was the scent of shaving cream, testosterone, the slight rubbery odor of recent condom use without showering afterward. "Perhaps," I said to Deef, "but who cares?"
"Are you talking to that thing? It's a danger to society," said the woman,
man, pushing Deef's nose away. Diefenbaker is a very well-trained half-wolf who sometimes allows his instincts to get the better of his common sense, I said sternly. His name was Ray Kowalski, and he was a detective with the 19th Precinct, and was in the Canadian Consulate looking for Ray Vecchio. I tried to picture the two of them together, but couldn't. My mental photograph of Ray kept sliding around, away from Ray Kowalski, like two magnets, for lack of a better simile.
"I can call him," I offered.
"You just tell him," Detective Kowalski said, stabbing a finger at me, "that the next time I see him, I will kick his head all over this room for screwing up my bust."
"Understood," I replied.
Detective Kowalski turned around and walked out of my office and the consulate, hip swinging, knees bending. I do not think that, had Deef not told me that she was a he, it would have occurred to me. I don't think I would have bothered to check. Was I so easily confused by female clothing that I wouldn't have recognized a man? After Deef's revelation, it was apparent. Detective Kowalski's scent was very masculine, musky, deep, similar to nothing I have ever before encountered. After he departed, I sat at my desk and tried to remember Victoria's smell. I was unsuccessful. Ray and I ate at Mr. Lee's restaurant that night. Deef ate in the kitchen. I brought up Detective Kowalski, and Ray snorted.
"Yeah, I'm afraid of that freak. Listen, Benny, you can't go around with that guy. It's not good for the old reputation, capiche?"
Ray pointed his fork at me.
"Understood, Ray," I said, nodding, but I didn't understand. "Whose reputation would it affect?"
Certainly Detective Kowalski already had a reputation as a bit of, well, an oddball. And so did I, for that matter. Ray, on the other hand... I love Ray, but I am not blind to his flaws.
"You gotta watch out for guys like that," said Ray, shaking his fork at me.
"Guys like what?"
I replied, and steered a piece of stir-fried chicken into my mouth.
Guys like Kowalski, Ray glowered at me. You don't know, Fraser. They'll take advantage.
Ray, I am perfectly capable of making sure no one takes advantage of me.
Yeah, sure, Benny, he said, and his face began to turn an alarming shade of red. You just hand out money and jump off buildings, and everyone takes advantage of you.
I'm perfectly content. I'm content, Ray. I focused my eyes on my plate instead of on Ray's face while he spluttered.
I'm just saying, he finally said. I'm just saying, you gotta watch out.
I will be on alert, Ray, I answered, and although that didn't seem to satisfy him, it certainly appeased him, and he spoke at length on other subjects, not bringing up Detective Kowalski again. After several days of thinking about Detective Kowalski and lecturing myself on the uselessness of allowing my thoughts to wander as such, I found myself standing outside the 19th Precinct with Diefenbaker at my side.
There's no need to be snide, I said to him. I fully realize that there may very well be a hole in my bag of marbles.
Dief only gave me a sharp look, then bounded up the stairs and into the station house. I followed at a rather more leisurely pace. He, of course, in the time it took me to enter the squad room, managed to find a soft touch who was willing to feed him donuts. The soft touch was Detective Kowalski, clad in combat boots, another short black skirt, and a black undershirt. Around his wrist was a silver bracelet. On his exposed arm was a red and black tattoo that said, Champion. His lipstick was darker today, a reddish-purple slash, and under his eyes it appeared that he had applied glitter. I was entranced. I could not look away.
Yo, he said. Vecchio's pet Mouty.
Hello, detective, I replied. We were getting querying glances from the other policemen in the squad room. I hesitated for a brief moment and then said, Would you care to join me for lunch? He considered me, looked me up and down, and suddenly I wished that I'd worn the red uniform, despite the heat, for it would be as garish as his own costuming. It would be my own armor.
Sure, he said. I know a place.
And he stood up and tossed another donut to Dief on his way out, hip swinging. I looked at Diefenbaker, but he'd settled under Detective Kowalski's desk and looked ready for a nap.
Don't eat any more donuts, I said to him, enunciating as clearly as possible.
I would not be the one to bring up such a subject, as it would be extremely rude, but before we'd even sat down in a booth at the diner around the corner, Detective Kowalski said, So I bet you're wondering about the skirts.
Ah, I replied.
Actually, I was wondering if the meatloaf tastes as good as it smells.
Probably not, he said, and glared at me.
I find your sense of fashion... I cleared my throat. I like it. It suits you.
Yeah, he said, and stretched.
I think so, too. He told me to call him Ray, and then told me all about his wife, who didn't want to have children, who listed on their separation papers irreconcilable differences because she didn't like it when he borrowed her Shalimar. And that's okay, he said, around a mouthful of cheeseburger, because I don't like that stuff anyway. And his job for the 19th, which was mostly undercover work.
Undercover as what? I asked.
Are you kidding?
No.
A prostitute. It's not entrapment. We bust those jackasses. That's what I was so pissed at Vecchio for. He got in the way of us taking down that asshole who's been killing the trannies.
Ray looked from his plate to mine and took one of my fries.
Stella, he said as we walked back to the station, you know, my wife, she says that the skirts are because I got a lot of trauma from peeing myself in a bank when we were kids. As I had just commented on the muggy weather, I could only assume... Well, I couldn't assume anything. Detective Kowalski, Ray, had proven to be an enigma to me.
"Ah," I said.
"You say that a lot," he said.
"Yes," I said.
"It's 'cause you don't got anything else to say?"
He raised an eyebrow at me.
"I just like the breeze."
"I'm sure it's very liberating."
"Yeah," he said, and smiled at me, showing all his teeth. "It's liberating."
The next evening, when Deef and I walked out of the consulate into the soupy summer air, he was waiting on the steps.
"Freako answered the phone, said you'd be leaving about now," he said in response to my upraised eyebrows. "Want to get some dinner before I gotta go to work?"
Deef barked a yes, definitely, Chinese food.
But I was reluctant. I thought about him too much. It wasn't... it couldn't... I just...
"I won't tell Ray if you won't," said Deef, and I glared at him. Then looked up at Ray Kowalski and prepared myself to deny him. But he smiled at me, and I was lost.
"I would love to share a meal with you," I replied.
As we walked to his car, his skirt, short again, black again, but with a hem that ruffled away from his legs, brushed against me, and I imagined that I could feel each thread of the fabric against my legs. He opened the passenger side door for Deef and myself, closed the door once I'd settled myself, and flashed his thighs at me as he slid into the driver's seat.
"This is a wonderful car," I said, running my hand over the dashboard.
67 GTO, he said reverently. "I rebuilt it with my dad."
"It's lovely."
I listened carefully as he turned the key in the ignition, but heard nothing except the song of a well-oiled, well-tuned machine starting up, and I thought it could, possibly, be a metaphor. The end. This has been a reading of Woman Like a Man by Lalejandra. You can leave feedback for the author at her LiveJournal.